Hey, what's going on? Thank you for tuning into this episode of While We Were Working, the show that helps you become a better people leader. We've got a pretty exciting show for you today. This week, we are going to talk about traits of a great leader and how to compare yourself against those and make some changes. The other thing we're going to talk about is what happens when an employee's job changes and they're no longer happy about it. Well, I am always joined by our awesome co-host here, Summer Ketron, consulting practice manager here at Jumpstart. And we've got a great show, so let's go ahead and jump into it. Summer, you want to set us up for the segment While We Were Working?
I'd love to. Thanks, Joey. And thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We are so glad you are here. And if you haven't followed our show before, the While We Were Working segment is where Joey and I scour the web. We read articles, magazines, blogs, really anything we can find. And we pick out one that we think would be great to share with you that you might have missed. Why? Because you were probably so busy working. And this week's article was actually published on February 20th in Entrepreneur Magazine. We happened to catch this one online. And the name of this article is, Are You a Great Leader or an Average Leader? Now, I don't know about you, Joey, but when I hear average, I think that's okay. But does anybody really aim to be average?
No, you don't win any trophies for being average. And it's not something that you should strive toward. The fact that I think if you're average, you should be looking at ways to grow and improve. So let's jump into this article here from entrepreneur.com.
All right. Well, the article starts out by talking about there was a new book by Scott Greenberg, Stop the Shift Show, and a really clever title. Right? I thought so, too. It breaks down the managerial qualities of those who know how to yield the best results from their team members. So we won't, of course, be able to show you the chart, but the chart is really cool in, you know, comparing some traits side by side. But I thought it would be really neat to kind of talk about some of these to help our listeners understand, like, some of the nuances that is the difference between great and average.
Yeah, you know, I like to start at the first thing here, which is from the management perspective, what's your ultimate goal? Top managers facilitate employee growth as a means to get work done, and typical managers or average managers try to facilitate employee behavior so work gets done. And I can just kind of park here for a second, because I always hear stories from friends about, man, my job sucks. They did this thing. How could management be so crazy? And one example was a friend of mine. He was talking about how his employer came into the office and was checking everybody's seat to see who was in office, and was like, nobody's getting any work done. Nobody's here. But that is an idea of average management when you are forcing the behavior of showing up. That is not great leadership, where you're actually trusting and inspiring accountability of your teammates to get things done from week to week or day to day. So I think that's a really cool distinction, and a key takeaway is, as a manager, am I inspiring people's growth to get things done, or am I just trying to provide specific behaviors?
Provide specific behaviors to get things done.
That's true. And when I read this article, I think it's a really great tool for any people leader to really kind of dig deep and do an honest self-assessment and ask, is that me? And I think at a minimum, just consider other possibilities. And, you know, are there things that we can do differently that would move some of our perspectives from that average to that great category? And I'd like to talk about one, which is selecting employees. And this is something that I discovered pretty early in my career, and it's made a world of difference going from hiring those that were like me versus hiring those who fit the position and the culture. And, you know, when you're starting out, it's really easy to hire people who are like you. Why? Because they're likable. Right. But really being able to take a step back and make decisions based off of the needs of the position and the culture, that is a very, very important difference.
Yeah. So Summer, maybe share some examples maybe that you've seen in, you know, we could talk about Jumpstart over the years, right? Or even maybe in your career of hiring maybe likable folks who got a pass on some of the job descriptions. And we won't, you know, throw people's names out there because that's not what this is about. But it's all to say that at any given moment, we ourselves could be susceptible to average leadership because, man, we really like this person. They're easy to get along with. They're easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. But the question is, can they perform the work? And I can think of many examples of groups that we've worked with that have what I consider regrettable turnover, where they hired someone, but maybe they didn't ask them to do a project, or maybe they didn't ask them to give a presentation, or maybe there just wasn't that additional layer of trust confirmed about their ability to do the job beyond just an interview exchange. So definitely know that and have experience. Best leaders, when it comes to hiring, they focus on who's a good fit for the culture or who can add to the culture in a way that moves the organization forward, as opposed to, you know, likability or things that really don't have anything to do with the job.
That's so right. And I think looking back at this chart, the two key differences that also really stood out to me in that regard is that, you know, the average manager prioritizes aptitude. The great manager prioritizes attitude. It's so important, right? Because, you know, think about if somebody has a great attitude and willingness to learn, in many cases, they can in the right environment. But if you don't have the right attitude, but you have the aptitude, you're going to be limited.
Yeah. And it speaks to employee engagement, right? The idea of what does it mean for an employee to be engaged? If someone has the competency, that doesn't mean that they're engaged necessarily. It means, sure, they could do the work, but they could just as well do the work for someone else. For your competitor, for a new industry, for themselves. But that idea of prioritizing attitude, I would take that a step further and saying they have the attitude that they want to win in your business, they want to help your business win, and they're willing to be coachable, make decisions, learn and grow so that they can see themselves winning in your business. So yeah, just because they can do the work doesn't mean that they want to do the work for your business.
So it's very true. In fact, that's a really valuable interview question, right? Trying to find out why is it that a candidate wants to work for you specifically, right? Why your job versus any job? And it'll be, you know, it's interesting to hear what type of answers you get, but on this list, Joey, are there others that stand out to you?
Well, let me go back to what you had said about that question that employers ask about why you want to work here. I think that question has become the punching bag of the interview world, and people say that it's often a silly question or a stupid question, but really, Summer, to your point, you're asking that question because you want to hear that the person has an attitude or they're a willingness to shape an attitude of, hey, I've gone on your website, I've seen your socials, I've tested your product, And I know that I want to work for you. And here's why, right? You know, I believe in the vision of the organization. I've stalked you guys on LinkedIn, and it seems like you're doing some pretty cool stuff, right? Like, that is a question that can easily help you figure out someone's attitude about your organization versus their desire to plug in and grab a paycheck, or just be about a paycheck rather. So I like that question. But you asked me where some other things that are super important here. I think that this motivation one is important, where great leaders feed a fire within them. And average leaders, you have to light a fire under them, right? I will say, as it relates to, you know, what we do at Jumpstart, I try to be a great leader here. And I talk about, Summer, you probably get tired of me talking about this, but, you know, our goal is to help people be more excited about Monday than they are about Friday. And that's a fire that I have within, because I've been fortunate, and many of the folks that work at Jumpstart will say they've been fortunate to have a job they look forward to, a career they look forward to, an impact on the work world that they look forward to. And I want to see as many people have that for themselves at other organizations. And so we do that through great HR. But that's not a fire that you have to light under my butt to get me going. That's not, hey, you know, we need to give you a pip, or, hey, your KPIs are dipping. No, it's something that I truly believe in, and it's from the heart. And so that's what great leaders have, is that fire within that they could talk about day in and day out for people at dinner conversations or inspire them on podcasts, right? That one really stood out to me.
Yeah, that is a great one. And there's so many, I think there's so many great ones on this list that unfortunately we won't have time to go through all of them. But if you're following our show, I would definitely recommend that you go out to read this article. And again, do that self-assessment, because I think if there's anything that you recognize that you're in the average category, and I would hope that we're all aiming to be in the great category, then it gives you some very good examples on how to change your behavior. Now, something I also wanted to talk about that's in this article is kind of talking about the question, is management ability something you're born with? And I'm sure most of you have heard about Gallup. You know, they do a lot of polls. And one of the research studies that they did, which was referenced in this article, suggests that only 10% of people in management positions actually have the talent to lead people. And that was a little frightening.
I was going to say, that's pretty scary. You line up 10 people in a row and only one of them will be a good manager. Question is, how do you figure out which one?
So, you know, trying to summarize what they said here is that, you know, some people come into the world like truly already equipped with some of the tools necessary. And, you know, if that's you, then consider yourself lucky. You are that one in 10. But even if you weren't, the Gallup poll also indicates that another 20%, right? So we're up to 30, actually have the potential to become strong managers if they receive the appropriate support. But Joey, that comes back to the type of work that we do here at Jumpstart, right? We work with companies to help coach up their leaders. And if I'm a business leader, a business owner, or I have managers on my team and I'm listening to this, I'd be thinking about, okay, maybe one in 10 of those is probably good on their own, right? The other, you know, 2 out of 10 have the potential, but they're going to need some coaching. So what I hear is coaching is good for all.
Yeah. Coaching is good for all. And honestly, if you run a business and you don't know which of your team members are good for management, then you're doing your business a disservice by not coaching, by not having training, by not giving an opportunity for you to identify before you put people in the line of fire whether or not they're good managers or have the potential to be good managers. It can have a very dangerous effect on your ability to keep the people on your team that you want to keep. And it has a tremendous, tremendous impact on your ability to reach the goal that you want to reach. So you should absolutely be reached out to a group that will help train, coach, and develop your colleagues for leadership positions. I mean, you know, here at Jumpstart, we've got our DISC assessment coaching, where we can do one-on-one trainings, group training, team trainings, corporate-wide trainings on your ability to communicate and show up in the world and be responsive to others. And so that's just one small way of identifying a great leader, is understanding their communication style and their self-awareness about their communication style. So you should reach out to us, jumpstart-hr.com, to learn more about our DISC assessment coaching and how we can help you identify who has the potential for management in your business.
I love that. Well, are you ready to switch gears over to Consultants Corner?
I am. You know, this one's a pretty fun question. And as always, here at Consultants Corner, this is our segment where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, life in the trenches as HR consultant. And it looks like this question came in from a client of ours, where they asked, how do you handle a situation where a job has changed significantly from when an employee was hired and the employee is not happy about it? Now, Summer, I'll ask for a little bit of context here, because there could be a few things that change about a job that the employee isn't happy about, right? There could be a change of duties, so they could be just be doing something different. There could be a change in their layer of responsibility, and so maybe they feel like there should be some sort of additional compensation if there are additional responsibilities. There could be a total shift of where the organization's headed and what's a priority versus not, right? So if, for example, work in marketing and your business says, hey, we're no longer going to do influencer marketing or social media marketing, we're going to do the hard sell with commission-based reps, right? Then you might feel like your job has less significance in the grand scheme of organization. So I just wanted to maybe throw that out there as like primer for your conversation. But yeah, Summer, do you have any insight into this? Or could you start us off with how you might respond to this question?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to share too much about this specific clients because, you know, they may be listening, and we want to, of course, you know, keep the work that we're doing confidential. But I do think it's a really great opportunity to talk about something that I know happens at a lot of organizations, something that I've experienced with, you know, my team working at an organization, and talking about how to navigate this as from a process standpoint, because I think that that will be valuable for others who may find themselves in a similar situation. So the few questions that I always ask myself when trying to come up with this plan is similar to what you said, like, well, why did the job change? Right. And that's kind of the first piece. And then the second piece is really trying to get to the heart of, like, well, what is making this employee unhappy? And I think the very first part of going down this path is having an initial conversation with the team member and creating a safe space for them to share their concerns and their perspective, and just really hearing them out about, like, how they're feeling and what they're thinking. Because without that, we don't really know how to overcome the challenge unless we know what it is from the team member's perspective.
I'd agree. You know, it all starts with the conversation, and hopefully you built that trust with the employee to ask the question to get the true answer. But you want to know what's on your employee's mind first, and then that can help you develop the strategy and next steps that you would need to find a great solution.
I'd say that the next step in the process is talking a little bit about like the reason behind the change and talking about current responsibilities and what these new expectations are. I think it's wise to allow the team member time to process and ask follow-up questions. But also, as an employer, my suggestion would be to never assume that the situation is fixable. I think this is a great path to having the conversations and setting both the team member and the company up for success. But there are some situations where there is what I would call either a skill gap, and that is that the skill gap that needs to be filled in order to get the team member from where they are today to what these like new requirements or, you know, what the changes are, or there's a will gap, right? There's the gap between where their effort is today and where the effort needs to be in order to get to the desired outcome. And Joey, I'll tell you a quick story about having seen this actually in an organization who the organization was in a downturn when I had joined, and it was definitely a turnaround situation. And the team members that were hired prior to my arrival were doing certain tasks that just were not going to get us there. So it required that their jobs were modified significantly in order to achieve the results necessary for the turnaround. And over a period of about a year and a half to 2 years, the jobs were drastically different than what they were originally hired for. And there were some team members that, unfortunately, the job outgrew with their skill or will. And unfortunately, it did mean that ultimately we parted ways with some team members who just weren't interested in doing the work or didn't feel like they would be able to do the work. But those are real situations that companies encounter. But ideally, there's also team members that when these situations occur, they can fill those gaps and help team members have a long, successful career where they can continue to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that when you talk about coming in a downturn and careers changing because of business necessitating it, that's one thing. But there's also just the idea that the world of business changes around us, whether we are in a downturn or are thriving. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself should require us to take a look at job description, I'd say on an annual basis, mm-hmm. probably around the time when you do your formal annual review process. But, you know, going back to another episode that we did about the whole independent contractor versus W-2, conversation and the new independent contractor laws that are now here, it's just always a good practice to figure out and have a pulse on what are your people doing? Why are they doing it? Are they happy about doing it? Because there's just so much that can get away from us in the normal day-to-day thinking about getting things done that we should spend the time being intentional about focusing on job description, job duty, job outcome, employee sentiment around that. Because in good times and bad times, positions can change. I mean, I think about some of my friends who left, the Silicon Valley tech firms, right? Mm-hmm. And this is when they were booming, but it just became something about the job where they felt like they wanted to go out, do their own thing, or they wanted to go pursue a job that gives them a different kind of lifestyle. So you should always be paying attention to your job descriptions for many of the reasons that we've discussed today.
I think that's such a great tip. And, you know, thinking about updating job descriptions on an annual basis might sound daunting, but try ignoring them for several years and then going to update them. And it becomes a much heavier lift than if they are just maintained regularly. And I can't tell you how many times those job descriptions have been incredibly valuable for a wide variety of things, whether it's lawsuits that the company is, you know, trying to defend, or, you know, whether it's a disability claim, trying to determine if a team member can return to work. But really, from a management standpoint, it helps both the team and leadership have clarity on what a job's responsibilities are. And kind of going back to, you know, where we started talking about, you know, the situation where a job has changed significantly and employees unhappy about it, I think sometimes there is a lot of weight placed on the job description as the end all be all. So I think helping manage expectations that it's likely never going to include everything, but it's going to be the key components, and finding team members who are flexible in their approach. And you know, I think you said it on an earlier comment, you know, team members who want to help the company win. It's embracing that as a part of their job description, that may be different things than what they were originally hired for. So if we can have these conversations and get to a point, I call it like a calibration of new expectations, then there is tremendous potential in there for team members to grow and learn new things. It's sometimes just that resistance to change that needs to be overcome, and organizations taking the time to outline like why the job has evolved. And hopefully we can get everybody on board to a positive path where change is embraced and, you know, team members are no longer unhappy about the change. But you know, as a team member, if something so drastic has changed that there's no overcoming it, then it's okay to say, you know, it might be time for me to explore something else. And where that might sound like a frightening conversation to have with your manager or your HR team, those are okay conversations to have, as scary as they might sound.
Yeah. And if you're not ready to have those conversations, then you should reach out to the team at Jumpstart, who can help facilitate that. One of the ways that we can offer those services easily to you is through our prepaid HR consulting package. This allows you to get 10 hours or a bundle of 10 hours and more to discuss things, to have coaching, to help you navigate the tough road ahead that you may be facing. And I can guarantee you, if a conversation needs to be had in one job description or with one employee, there's a possibility that others are looking for that same sort of support as well. Yeah. So working with us can help address those systemic issues that have resulted in the unhappy employee, which ultimately is standing in the way of you, productivity, and the workplace culture that you dreamed of. So reach out to us at jumpstart-hr.com. And we're able to give you insight and solutions and strategies to help you navigate this crazy topic and others that fall under the HR recruiting and payroll umbrella as well. So I think that is a good place to land. Summer, do you have any parting thoughts?
No, I think we covered it. Those were two really cool topics for today's show. And I think just to quickly add that if you're listening to our show and you have a question or a topic that you would love for us to cover, email us hello@jumpstart-hr.com. We'd love to hear from you. And you never know, you might just hear your topic on a future show.
Awesome. That's right. And Summer, as always, thanks for a great show. Make sure you check our growing library of audio and video episodes. Video can be found on our YouTube channel, and audio can be found wherever podcasts are consumed. So make sure you check us out. And until next time, have a great week.
Thanks, Joey. Thanks, everyone.